There are some verses in Isaiah 60, which we read earlier, which say this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy." So, spare a thought for Jet Ski Man. I don't know if you've heard about him. Jet Ski Man is a man called Dale McLaughlin. He's a 28-year-old roofer from Irvine in Scotland. And during lockdown, he rode a jet ski from Scotland to the Isle of Man and to see his girlfriend. He thought it would take 40 minutes. It took him 4.5 hours, and he had 10 minutes of petrol left, or whatever the fuel was, when he landed. It also earned him a month in prison for entering the island without a permit. Now, I don't know what you think about that. When I first heard that, I think I laughed. I thought, well, that's a bit silly. And then I must admit, I thought, well, a month in jail, that's a bit harsh. And then I read more details about this man. He twice had applied for a special permit, and he twice had it removed. He'd saved up to buy the jet ski. He'd towed it 70 miles, and he'd never ridden one before, so he had to learn pretty quickly how to ride one. And then, having landed, he hiked a further 15 miles to his girlfriend's door. Now, I'm not justifying it at all, but that does seem pretty heroic. And all that to be with the person he loved. You know, the hardest thing for us at present is that we cannot be with the people we love. We cannot gather as we want to. This pernicious virus separates us and makes us fear, actually, that great final separator, death itself. The arrival of Jesus occurred at a time of great displacement. Mary and Joseph were separated from their close family. And they couldn't just make conference calls. You know why? Because there was no Zoom at the inn. But at least they could have visitors. They could have visitors. And maybe you envy them that. They could have visitors. And how significant. This baby is born, Emmanuel, God with us, God come down among humankind, and immediately he starts gathering people together. The shepherds, they overcame their fear on the hillside to respond to God's message. The wise men, not on jet skis as far as we know, but still completing their own heroic journey. Having initially gone to the wrong place, they too heard God's word from the prophet Micah and responded, redirecting to Bethlehem to gather around this special child, just as Isaiah had foretold in those verses. Look about you, all assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar and your daughters are carried on the hip. Nations will come, verse 3, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Meanwhile, here, now, we cannot gather. We thank the Lord for Zoom, and of course other conferencing apps are available. It has made a big difference to us. But anyone who's used it at all regularly will tell you it's not the same. It's not the same as meeting in person. Actually, there's something very draining about Zoom. It's exhausting, actually. A friend of mine described it helpfully, I thought, as it requires much more concentration than face-to-face meetings, whilst delivering much less satisfaction. The truth is, we are meant to be together, face-to-face. So at this strange time, we learn something about ourselves. We were made to be with others. But what if that actually goes deeper, much deeper? What if we were built that way for a reason? What if we were built that way to point towards something even more vital? What if we were made to be with the person who made us, our maker, our one great primary carer, God himself? Jesus came to bring people close, close to God, and so actually closer to each other. He came to deal with the thing that separates us. His death, a sacrifice for our sin, clearing out the guilt that cuts us off from God. And in so doing, Jesus destroyed the power of that ultimate separator, death. And that's why Jesus came, says Paul. I don't know where we are with the screen, but I'll give it a try. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, we reel about what's been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Destroyed death! That's astonishing. And the writer to the Hebrews says this: since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, breaking the power of death, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Freed from the fear of death. The fear of death, that's the very thing that stops us gathering as we want to right now, isn't it? We don't want to lose our loved ones. Indeed, we don't want to lose our own lives. In fact, we don't want any more lives to be lost. And so we don't gather as we want to. We restrain ourselves. But you know, there's an even greater separation. There is a separation from God for eternity. But here's the thing. The believer, the person who trusts in Christ, has been delivered from the fear of that ultimate separation, and thus from the fear of death. Because for believers, when we die, we go to be with him. Now, that's no reason to be careless at this time, but it does mean we don't need to fear death, which we will all have to face one day, whether COVID is around or not. Unless Jesus returns, of course, before we die. You remember dear Rod's words, Rod Chisholm, who was taken from us earlier in the year because of COVID. His words towards the end, he said this: this virus may think it's got me, but it hasn't. Jesus has got me. And so he has. And we who believe know we'll meet all our loved ones who have died in the Lord again one day. Because Jesus' coming brings people together for eternity. And Jesus' coming brings us together with God for eternity. Eternal life, in fact, in the Bible, eternal life is defined not actually by longevity, not by a long, long time, although it does go on forever. It's actually defined by relationship. This is what Jesus said. This is eternal life, that they know you. He's praying to God, his Father. They know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Eternal life is this relationship. It starts the moment we turn and believe, and it's something that goes on forever, and we can never lose it if we're trusting in him. Jesus said, again in John chapter 12, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He's gathering. He's gathering. That's what he came to do. Sadly, not everyone wants to be drawn to him. We talked about those other stargazers. Briefly interested, maybe, but couldn't be bothered to leave their comfortable homes to find out more. And there are plenty of people like that today, not wanting to consider Christ because they don't want their lives to change. Luke tells us that after the shepherds had seen Jesus, they spread the word. Presumably they spread that word all around Bethlehem. We read that all who heard it were amazed. Yet we don't read of a great crowd gathering round the manger. Maybe they did. We don't read of it. Others saw Jesus as a distinct threat, as we've said. King Herod wanting him dead. Many people don't want Jesus to be king of their lives because they like to sit on the throne of their own lives, their own hearts. Sadly, they don't realize that in so doing, far from being their own king, this just means that they are in thrall to King Death, and he will have the last word with them. Well, which response is yours this morning, I wonder? Don't just stand amazed at a distance. Don't just let your own comfortable life numb you to this reality. Jesus came to free us from the fear of death and to gather people to himself, and he wants to gather you in too. How much did he want to do that? Well, when it comes to heroic journeys, forget the wise men. Forget even jet ski man. Low within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. Think of that journey. Why did he make it? Because he was desperate to be with the ones he loves. That's you. That's me. And if we're trusting in him, we can join in with Paul's remarkable words. Which are not on the screen now. In Romans 8, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Okay. Let's just pause and pray for a moment. It's just in your own heart, lift up your response to the Lord. And perhaps lift up to the Lord people that you are concerned about this Christmas time. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus came to bring us close. Thank you that he came all that way to be with the ones he loves. Thank you that that includes us. That is such an amazing truth. Thank you, Lord.